blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 64, all three stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me, shame me not before their sight. Yea, may none be put to shame, none who wait for thee to bless, but dishonored be their name, who without a cause transgress. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 64. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 41. Psalm 41. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 41. Blessed is he. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. And thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, and that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Case Alleman, who is in the hospital for testing, Mr. Dan Van Worthausen, who has come home from the hospital, also Reverend Bazin, who has come out of the hospital in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, omniscient one, who knoweth our life and who knoweth our hearts, thy servant did appeal to thee as the all-knowing God, and also as the protector of the poor and of those who are persecuted, when his enemies gathered round him like water. And thou knowest the false accusations that were laid against him, but also what is the portion of thy true church even to this day. Lord, may thou remember each and every one of them. Thou hast given thy spirit, and thou hast made them upright. Thou hast made them honest before thee and before men. But, Lord, thou knowest the advantage in which the prince of darkness does take. Remember all those then that are persecuted, that are afflicted, that have many enemies. And may thou draw near to them thyself, to be to them a shield, a covert, and a hiding place from all that would destroy them, but especially from the prince of darkness himself. Lord, thou knowest the might and the power that he has, and even to bruise the heel of thy son, to persecute thy church, and to bring them into a near despair, to draw their hearts to the world, to attempt to make them not only to fall, but that they would fall away forever, an attempt to make them to sin against thee. The temptations are set before them, and Lord, they cannot stand for one moment in their own strength, because that old man, he is so inclined to evil. Oh, may thou remember thy true church, them for whom thou hast given thy own life, for whom thou hast suffered, for whom thou hast died, risen again and ascended and sitteth at the right hand of thy Father. Lord, thou hast promised, I will never leave. I will never forsake thee. Oh, what a wonder. But Lord, give them this day to feel something of it, because that time can be so long. And when they go from strength to strength, from resting place to resting place, in the Meshech of this world here below, Lord, we beseech thee for a crumb. We beseech thee for a little token of thy presence, of thy nearness, and of thy favor in the midst of thy true church. Lord, leave them not be. Leave them not to themselves. Oh, grant them this day a little food in thy house of prayer. To them that hunger and that thirst after righteousness, to those who have no power to flee from sin, to those who have no strength against the great company that cometh against them, Lord, there is for them one hope. There is for them one expectation. And if thou hadst not been the Alpha, then it had never begun in their life. And if thou wilt not be the first to return, and then they shall still wander so far that they shall never find the way back again. O Lord, we beseech thee, for the sake of thy own name, O for the glory of thy name, that thou may remember thy people this day, and that thou may visit here in thy house of prayer with an undeserved blessing. Look upon all those that are strangers to thy way of grace. Thou knowest how we walk over this world. Lord, it is by nature in death, dead in sins and in trespasses, with closed eyes and closed ears, blind and deaf and dumb, and with not one true spiritual desire, well with a religion, but with no life. Oh, we need thy power. We need the power of thy Holy Spirit to come and to give that life, that there may be a true cry, and that is born out in the depth of the soul, that missing of God, my Maker. Oh, that missing of Him whom I have left in paradise. Lord, who can give it to themselves? Oh, that thou would not leave us in death, but wilt thou use thy word this day, which we have gathered around according to thy holy commandment. Oh, we can do it with our feet, and we can come with our bodies. Oh, it is not right in our hearts of ourselves, but Lord, thou can make it right in a moment, and thou can give us the place of him who did say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent. and I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. What a wonder from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And when the impossibility lies on our side, ever to fulfill thy commandments and our responsibility that lays on us so heavy, as we are traveling to that great eternity, wherein thou dost call us, turn ye from your evil ways. And we have no heart to turn, Lord. And we have no desire to turn. We have no will to turn. Oh, turn thou us, and we shall be turned. Oh, draw thou us, and we shall run after thee. It all must come from thee. Remember us then this day. Be with all those thy true servants that are called by thee, and on whom this day the impossibilities are felt to go forward in that calling which man cannot do. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou help thy servants, may thou pour forth thy Spirit, may thou give them a true cry, may thou give them the opening and the liberty from above. But above all, oh, bless thy word over the length and the breadth of the earth, that many may be born in Zion, and that many may come with weeping and with supplications. Oh, then there shall be hope in the midst of the congregations. Wilt thou look upon all those that deceive themselves? Oh, Lord, if that is now our case this day, may thou open our eyes for the first time and give us for the first time in our life to come off of our throne and to descend, and to not dare to look up unto heaven, but have to smite upon our breast. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Then the power shall be experienced and felt. Then thy name shall be glorified, and man shall be justified in and through thine only begotten Son. Lord, look on us. Wilt thou be with all the afflicted and the sick ones? We especially remember those who have lost their loved ones in that terrible earthquake that has taken place in this past week, where hundreds and hundreds of people have come immediately to their death and had to stand before thee in one moment. Oh, Lord, so many have been hurt. May thou give healing for their bodies. May thou give understanding in their hearts and in our hearts when thy judgments are upon them. And wilt thou supply in all their needs. Comfort all those that mourn. Be with widows, widowers, and orphans also in our own midst. And all those that suffer in the body or in the mind. Be with him that is not able to be with us this day, but who lies in the hospital. Wilt thou give strength, healing for his body? Wilt thou supply in the week to come? Lord, may thou give some good news yet, if it could please thee. But above all, bless and sanctify this way to his soul. Strengthen his wife and his family in mercy in this difficult way. Be with him that has come home also from the hospital. May thou give him a thankful heart, where amidst so many fears, thou hast made all things so very well. Oh, give him further strength and health. May this way humble him so deeply. May his mouth also be given to go open to speak of the wondrous ways of the Lord. May thou remember also thy servant who came out of the hospital in this past week. Lord, thou hast given that all things may go well thus far. May thou give him further healing. May thou raise him up once again in the midst of the churches and in the midst of his own congregation. And may thou supply in all the needs that are to come. Wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted? Wilt thou give healing and the strength? Remember and look upon all the caregivers. Wilt thou be with us now in this morning hour? Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And thou can in one moment pour out thy Spirit upon us. We are so unbelieving. Even as that man that did say, if the Lord should open windows in heaven, might this thing be? Lord, thou canst put to shame all our doubt and our unbelief. Thou can come in one moment to convert the boys and girls, our young people, and our fathers, mothers, grandfathers, and grandmothers. Oh, thou canst work, Lord, even in the dark days in which we are, wherein we hear of it so little. Oh, may thou be the surprising God unto us in this day. And may thou give, and that this one or that one, could it be each and every one of us, may go from this place with an impression wrought by thy Holy Spirit, and that we may go out as the guilty one and in need of blood for cleansing, for washing, and for forgiveness. Remember us, Lord. Forgive thou all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 378, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Give thanks to God, for good is He. His grace abideth ever. To Him all praise and glory be. His mercy faileth never. His wondrous works with praise record. His grace abideth ever. The only God and the sovereign Lord, whose mercy faileth never. The last collection today is for the treasured meditations. We also make an announcement that there was a small error in the bulletin concerning the youth adult evening, which is scheduled for tomorrow evening, Monday, August the 20th. There was also a special service scheduled for this coming Thursday in the Picture Butte Church, and that service has been postponed for 1 week until August the 30th, which will no longer be in the Picture Butte, but in the Lethbridge Church at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 378, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text you can find in Matthew of chapter 5 and thereof the 7th verse. Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So far the words of our text. The merciful blessed. First, their mercifulness. Second, their blessedness. The merciful blessed. First, their mercifulness. Second, their blessedness. Congregation, for what reason did the Lord make man upon this world? That was for his own glory. The Lord says, I have created him for my glory. That is why, as we read every Sabbath morning, that first commandment that says to us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is why that the Lord was so angry when he saw the children of Israel dancing about that golden calf. And then we see that the Lord is such a jealous God. Therefore, the Lord says that he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Therefore, we read of Herod that he was eaten of worms. Why? Because we read, he gave not God the glory. God will be honored in every one of his attributes, in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his justice, in his goodness, and so on. But now mercy. Our text speaks about mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Mercy, that is also an attribute of God. That is also an attribute in which God will be glorified. Mercy, what is that? That is a disposition to relieve the suffering, to relieve the misery of another. Includes compassion, includes sympathy, tenderness of heart. It is the opposite of being insensible to the suffering, to the misery that my neighbor has to endure. God is merciful. When did that begin? That was from eternity. That is his character. That is one of his attributes that is in his essence, that is in his being, that never began. No, that ever was from eternity. It will never be different because he is unchangeable. But it has not always been possible for God to be glorified in his mercy. And why not? Because the objects of mercy did not always exist in this universe, who are the objects of mercy. They are those who suffer. They are the poor. They are the sick. They are the weak. They are the persecuted. They are the afflicted. They are the oppressed ones. They are those who are in misery and who are not able to help themselves out of their own misery. These are the proper objects of mercy. After the creation, when the Lord has declared, "Behold," he says, "it was very good," then it was possible that God should be glorified in his righteousness, that he should be glorified in his holiness, that he should be glorified in his goodness, in his kindness, etc. But it was not possible at that time that the mercy of God would be experienced by anyone, because there were no proper objects of mercy. Thus, what was necessary, as should God ever be glorified in his mercy, that was the fall. The fall of man. Therefore, that fall lay in the decree of God from eternity. Therefore, that fall lay in his will. Therefore, that fall lay in his good pleasure. That does not make him the author of sin. No, the responsibility and the accountability for that sin lies not on him, but upon him who has sinned. That was man. And yet, there is nothing that is lying outside of the decree and of the purpose of the Lord. And there is nothing that will not be to the honor and to the glory of God to all eternity. What an honor that the Lord esteems mercifulness to be. That we would have the character of being a merciful man, a merciful woman, boy or girl. What an honor that the Lord has brought to pass such an awful thing as the fall of man for that very purpose. Indeed, congregation, who will glorify God more than a wretched and a miserable man who has been delivered by him when he was not able to deliver himself and when he only had to expect eternal condemnation? We read of the Egyptians. They came to Joseph. They had no food. What was their expectation? That was death. Pharaoh sent them to Joseph. Then they saw how that Joseph has provided for them already from 7 years ago. What did they say? "Thou hast saved our lives, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Thus they have felt their indebtedness to him that has delivered them. Why? Because they have experienced something of their helplessness in that state of their misery.
that they were doomed to death, that they were doomed to destruction. And that is the reason that that covenant of grace that shall bring more honor to God through the fall of man than that covenant of works was ever able to bring to God by the merit of man. What was the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth? That was the work of mercy. We read, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. That was a picture. That was a picture of the reason that the Lord Jesus has come upon this earth. Not for the temporal healing, not to be an earthly physician, but as a picture of that heavenly physician. And the Lord Jesus connects these two things together when he has declared in the very beginning of his ministry the reason or the purpose, the end for which he was anointed by his Father. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Thus, those two are by him connected. Mercy is that great work for which the Lord Jesus Christ will be eternally glorified. That is beginning here on earth. That is by a people who are not able to deliver themselves from their misery. That needs someone else to deliver them, who are so helpless in that wretched state of death, and also in the warfare against sin and Satan and this world. Therefore, the Lord Jesus sat and ate with publicans and sinners. Why? That he may be glorified in his mercy. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, that his mercy that might be now and forever magnified. Blessed are the merciful. Paul says that that new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who is that, boys and girls? Who has created us? That is God. Thus, that new man is renewed after the image of God. And then it is especially after that image which is shown to us in his only begotten Son. That is, Christ is the head of his church, and his church is the body. Therefore, it cannot be otherwise than that church that is made like unto him. Thus, that new man, he becomes a merciful man. That is part of that character that is given unto that new man in regeneration. That is, with a heart of mercy toward his fellow creature. That is a mark, that is a fruit of that new life. But you say, are there not also many wicked people? Are there not also atheists? Are there not also those who do not believe in God, that also show much mercy, that are ready to help the poor out of all of their distresses? That is true. And therefore, we must be so very careful that we are not taking only one mark alone, because it is dangerous for us ignorant human beings to make such judgments. Is there then no difference? Oh, yes, certainly there is a difference. There is a difference. But that difference that is not necessarily evident to you and to me. Where is that difference? That difference is inward. That difference is in the source. That difference is in the fountain. That difference is in the foundation, where that merciful act is coming from. What is the fountain for that true church? For that true church, that mercifulness is proceeding out of received mercy. That is not so for the wicked. There are ulterior motives, or it is simply common grace. Thus, there is a great difference in the motive. But that we want to see a little later. Blessed are the merciful. To be merciful, to be full of mercy, merciful, where does that lie? Boys and girls, where does that lie? That lies inside of a person. That is a disposition of our heart. Thus, there is the fountain, that fountain that has to be in the first place within. But mercifulness, in order to be useful, that has also to be brought out in some outward, in some external act. James says, if thy brother or sister is hungry or destitute or naked, and you say to him, depart in peace and be ye filled, but you don't provide the things that he needs for his body, then he says, what does it profit? Thus, if it is only in our words, then there is no profit unto our fellow man, no mercifulness that is making itself evident in the external act for the help of those who are suffering. And yet, of course, there is a great difference in the ability, the capability of one person or another person to be able to help his fellow man. It is possible that our heart is filled with mercy, with sympathy, but we have no ability to do anything for our fellow man. Does that take away from the mercifulness that lies in the heart? No. Sometimes then there is only a possibility to seek help by this one or that one for him. Sometimes there is no place to go but to him who is able to help everyone. Blessed are the merciful, mercifulness that penetrates through the thickest walls, congregation of the churches, to the men of this world, as the Samaritan, even to animals, boys and girls, young people, A righteous man, we read, regardeth the life of his beast. But mercifulness does not forget his own, because the Lord says, if any man provide not for his own house, then he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But especially we read in the Word of God about mercy toward that true church of God. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. They are those that are often especially in need, because the Lord has in general not called the rich that are in this world, but they are often persecuted and they are often in the ways of affliction. Ibn Milak the Ethiopian could not bear it. There was an Ethiopian man, but he could not bear it when God's true servant was cast into that dungeon by the king, and so when after his release, blessed are the merciful. Mercy congregation does not only seek to relieve suffering. Mercy also seeks to prevent suffering. Sometimes it is necessary to induce, to cause a lesser suffering that we may prevent a greater suffering. Maybe you have gone, boys and girls, one time to the doctor. And the doctor, he gives you a needle. Say, that is not so pleasant. Oh, that is painful. And that is suffering. Just a little bit. Well, if you do not understand it very well, if you are not capable of understanding, then you say, that is a very mean man, that he hurt you. And yet it is not so, is it? No, he hurt you. Yes, he hurt you a little bit. Why? So that you may be well. To prevent a much greater suffering. Then you see that it comes not out of anything but mercy in the heart of that doctor. And what is congregation now? The greatest suffering that man shall ever endure, that is an eternal suffering of body and of soul. Here lies the difference, a distinction between that mercy that is shown in this world and that mercy that is lying in the heart of God's true people. Because this world, they have no thought of mercy toward their fellow men concerning a never, never ending eternity. But now that mercy that is laying in the heart of God's true people, that sees that eternal need above every suffering that can take place in this world. Elijah prayed to God that it might not rain. Was that mercy? That the people might experience famine, hunger, thirst, the older ones, the little ones. We read, "Rain not for 3.5 years." Was that mercy? Was that for the prevention of suffering? Was that compassion? Was that sympathy? Yes. Yes. Why? Because he saw another need. It was a greater need. It was an eternal need. And then he could not see how that people would ever come to bow their knees. Finally, he said, "Lord, wilt thou give that it might not rain? Wilt thou make the people feel it? Wilt thou give them to experience it? So that the people might cry to heaven. And that the animals, they would also cry to heaven because of their lack." That was mercy. Mercy bleeds, yes, at the temporal sufferings. But mercy that is withholding itself for the good, for the welfare of the soul. Mercy, congregation, that is full, true mercy, that is full of warning. That is not so nice for our flesh. We do not like to hear warning. We do not like to hear that we are sinful creatures, that we need to turn away from all our vanity, from all of our sin. Mercy, true mercy, that cannot say peace, peace, when there is no peace. True mercy cannot sew pillows under the armholes. We know there are many that speak of mercy and love in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And congregation, we must fear that it is in a very, very deceitful way. That is not mercy at all. Mercy is to show a man his true state and condition before God. That may make him to see where he is standing in relation to his law. And that he may be brought to his knees to cry to God for mercy and for grace. Mercy that is to warn a man against his sin, as the destroyer of both his soul and of his body. The Lord Jesus was full of mercy. But he said that he did not come to send peace on the earth, but he came to send the sword. That was true mercy. Oh, how impossible that is for the natural man to see this. He does not see, he does not agree with his death state. For him, mercy consists of everything that is superficial, that we might have an easy, that we might have a prosperous way in this world. Therefore, he is angry. Therefore, he rejects those truly merciful men of this world that would admonish him in his ways. And therefore, often that truly merciful man, he is often persecuted and hated in this world. But though he be persecuted and hated in this world, he is blessed by God. Let us sing first. Psalter 113, stanzas 1 through 4. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1 through 4 of Psalter 113. Our second thought, the blessedness of the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 25 tells us directly what his declaration is going to be to his own children. And when they stand before his judgment seat, and then he says that he will declare to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then we hear him make a connection between that blessedness and the mercy that was not only laying in their heart, but also coming forth from them in this world. "For," he says, "I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was sick, and ye visited me," and so on. Thus, the Lord Jesus connects this blessing with these acts of mercy, as he does also here. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We read further that the true church will not remember or will not realize that these acts of mercy. "For," he says, "they shall answer them and say, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee? When saw we thee athirst and gave thee drink?" Thus, that shall be the impression of that people on that last day. That means they have not counted these their deeds, but they have been in themselves unprofitable servants, doing what was their duty to do. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Congregation, what a wretched, wretched thought lies in the heart of the natural man upon hearing of this blessing. What is that wretched thought? That is, that I would show mercy in order that I might obtain mercy. That is such a perversion of true mercy. That true mercy that ought to be so selfless. That true mercy that ought to be looking only for the good and looking only upon the suffering and the misery of my neighbor. Thus, the motive that lies in the heart of the natural man is so utterly corrupt. He is ready to give that he might receive again. Fallen man is ever a lover of a works religion. If he can do anything, he will make a contribution to his own salvation. Also, this beatitude that is so abused by so many people who are looking for a justification by the works of man. Can I receive mercy by showing mercy? Then I will find everyone that I can in this whole world. congregation, our motive is wrong. It is evil. It is to merit. It is to earn. And then what do we not need anymore? Then we do not need what was earned, what was merited by Christ for his church. The Lord Jesus places this beatitude after the fourth beatitude. Thus, of whom is the Lord speaking here when he says, "Blessed are the merciful," that is, of that emptied man. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, that emptied man. The Lord Jesus is speaking about that man who has begun to look for a way outside of himself. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is a man that has been experimentally broken off of that old covenant. A man who has experienced the futility of that covenant because of the weakness of his flesh. So that mercy has become the only hope and the only plea of such a man. And what does the Lord Jesus show here? Then the Lord Jesus shows here what is the fruit of that mercy. Those that receive that mercy out of the hand of God, they will become a merciful man. Thus, that mercifulness within the church, that is not the cause. It is not the cause, but it is the character. It is the mark of that church. Had it been the cause, where had been the hope for the thief that had come to the end of his life? And yet he warned his fellow man, because that mercy that dwelt in his heart, that word mercy, that is not the same exactly as the word grace, but that word mercy is often used to encompass grace, even in the Word of God. Grace that is undeserved mercy. So mercy in itself has not to do with guilt, but misery. Grace has to do with guilt. But many times the word mercy that is encompassing also grace. David complains of his own sin and his transgression, and then he asks the Lord if the Lord will have mercy upon him. Thus we read here, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Then our boys and girls can understand. If they shall obtain mercy, then what does it mean? That means they need mercy. That means they need mercy. And if all their merciful acts had merited, then they would not need mercy anymore, would they? No, with all of that mercy that dwelt in their heart, that came forth from them in their life, oh, still, that people are in need of mercy themselves. There are congregations, so many today, that are past the stage of needing mercy. And through that already. Now I have been delivered. And now, well, now I must just show mercy unto my fellow men. When did Paul come past that stage of misery? Or in himself, then he had to say, "All wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That was necessary for him, even to the very end. Never came past that misery. When we will come one step higher than this, than the Apostle Paul came in his life, then we are too high. And then we have no need anymore for mercy through that Son of God. Oh, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, how are they blessed? They are blessed already, congregation, with the disposition. With the disposition that is lying in their heart. Because of the inward satisfaction that follows upon the acts of benevolence that are in this world. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Thus, blessed people already in this world. Not only so, but they shall be blessed by others in this world. Because we read of God Himself that with the merciful, He will show Himself merciful. Well, that is also true in many instances in this world. For man himself, Solomon says, "The man that watereth, he also shall be watered." Thus a double blessing. But no, we cannot end there. No, there is a triple blessing because it says they shall obtain mercy. From whom? They shall obtain mercy from the Lord Himself. And that is the greatest blessing for time and for eternity because the Lord shall forgive them all their iniquities. And the Lord shall reconcile that people unto Himself in His mercy. And He shall take them unto Himself one day in glory. They will sing forever. Not of their works. Not of their works. But of the mercy of the Lord. Congregation, how is it? And with that mercifulness, in a personal way, does that lie in our heart toward the sufferings of our fellow man? Oh, how altogether short do God's people feel when it comes to this character. And that, congregation, is a good thing. That is a good thing. Not that they are short in it, no. But that they feel short in it. Because the more that we see of this in ourselves, the further away that I fear that we are from that people that shall be received at His right hand on that last day. That is a paradox, but it is according to the Word of God. Read it in Matthew 25. May the Lord give more freedom to His people, congregation, to warn against sin. That is true mercy. so often, people of the Lord, then your mouths are closed. Well, you see your own sin. You see your own shortcomings. Who am I to say to my neighbor? Because of lack of zeal, because of slothfulness. And so the mouth is closed. The congregation, it is also a judgment. If the mouths of God's people are closed, that is a judgment, young people. When God's people are not bold enough to speak to you and to warn you, that is a judgment. You know what we read about Paul? He would go to Bithynia, and it says, the Spirit suffered him not. Spirit suffered him not. And when the Spirit does not suffer God's people to speak and to warn anymore, then it is a sign that the Lord is withdrawing His tender mercies from us and from our children. Oh, may the Lord give more of what was in that heart of Paul. He saw at Athens. He says he saw that that whole city was given over to idolatry. And then there was compassion. And he says that his spirit that was stirred in him. Oh, then our heart goes out for that people. Maybe we have no authority with Paul to preach. But there is no one that then cannot go at least upon their knees. But congregation, if we have never felt the need for our own soul, how is it possible that we shall feel the need for the soul of our neighbor? The natural heart is not a merciful heart. And in all our outward deeds, our motives, the motives of that natural heart, they are wrong. Must we leave them off then? No. No, they are commanded. But the heart has to change. There is only one place that change can come from. And that is from above. One hope, one expectation, and that is in His mercy. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For we have nothing good in us, not in our hearts, not in our lives. All thy commandments, they are against our flesh. Oh, that thou would show us mercy, because oh, what a mercy shall be poured forth then in us, for the first or by renewal. And wilt thou give us that true zeal and the ability, the love for our neighbor as ourself? And wilt thou forgive and take away our many, many sins? Oh, keep us from deceiving ourselves, which we are so prone to do. Bless thy word. Bring us safely home and with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 35, stanzas 2, 3, and 6. The merciful shall know thy grace, and the perfect thy perfection see. The pure shall see thy own pure face. The froward find a foe in thee. 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 35. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.